Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
As loud as you, Luke said.
You just didn't want to turn the microphone off for me. Yeah. That's what it was.
And they haven't got a big stand, so I can't do the dance routine that I prepared because I can't dance and hold the mic at the same time.
You can
put
it on the table.
There will be audio description as well. Okay, so I got told come today, talk about Bradbury Fields, talk about other services. You've got 45 minutes, and I said, Bradbury Fields is over 160 years old. So it's going to take me longer, so you don't mind having your lunch this evening, do you? Okay. And despite what Michael Allen says, this is not the time for having a nap. Okay, so here we go, Bradbury Fields. We were started in 1857 by an evangelical Protestant called Mary Wainwright. She got 14 of her friends together to create a committee, and our organisation was born. And we were called, and I am going to have to read this from the notes because I can never remember it off the top of my head. Take a deep breath. The Society for Supplying Home Teachers and Books in Moon Systems or in Boss Type to Enable the Blind to Read. Now imagine saying that every time you answered the phone. So the main objectives of the organisation was to teach blind people to read scripture, the Bible, that sort of thing. Okay, so we've obviously changed a great deal since then. Over the years, we've had many different names. In 1861, we merged with the Liverpool Workshop, so we became the Liverpool Society for Promoting the Welfare of the Blind. So,
a bit shorter.
We've also been called the Liverpool Home Teaching Society for the Blind. And then in 1969, which a lot of you will probably know us from back then, we became the Liverpool Voluntary Society for the Blind. So, funding. In 1919 we signed up to a funding agreement with what was then known as National Institute for the Blind, so we know now as RNIB. The agreement was that they would do all the fundraising in Liverpool. We wouldn't, but we would get a share of the money. So at the time it seemed like a really great idea because it was less work for us and we'd just get given this cash. And at the time it was around £2,500 a year. Okay. So that was clearly a lot back then. Over the time, that amount got higher and higher and higher, and we reached £25,000, and that's what they used to give us. And for those who may remember, the Sussy boxes? The collection boxes, yeah. So we used to get a percentage of those that were in and around Liverpool. In 1994, we signed what was called a service level agreement, and that was ourselves, Liverpool City Council, and Knowsley Borough Council. And that agreement was to say that we would... we were told the register of visually impaired people, and we would provide assessments at point of registration. Okay, and those assessments would be sort of home-based assessments to talk about varying needs of a visually impaired person. So think of when you get up in the morning, so you go to bed at night, all the different tasks that you take part in, and what advice we can offer, whether it be practical skills, whether it be equipment, whether it be emotional support, that kind of thing. In 1995, we moved into this centre. It was then called Muriel Crook House, and it was owned by Guide Dogs for the Blind Association. And we had a little corridor upstairs where we were very happy for many, many years. Also in 1995, we developed our Active Vision Clubs, and those clubs are still going today, and those are the clubs that I run. And they run from Monday to Thursday. They are a social club, so we don't teach people skills. It's purely social. They'll come in, we'll have a variety of activities on offer, so we could have cookery, arts and crafts, games, photography, quizzes, dancing. We have lots of guest speakers coming in, we have entertainers coming in, we open the bar. It's purely social, and a lot of the people that come to those groups, they don't get out all week. They may not see anybody all week, apart from maybe carers. Some of those people maybe live in sheltered accommodation or a flat, so coming here, having access to all our lovely gardens through the conservatory doors there, got a lovely big lawn, there's a sensory garden, lots of nice outdoor space where we can have barbecues and we can do outdoor games and things like that. Takes about 35 volunteers to run the centre. All of the drivers, they're all volunteer drivers as well. At the moment, we are desperate for volunteer drivers. So if anybody's got any contacts with anyone that I'd be willing to get involved, please pass them on to me. But we are struggling at the moment. Those clubs are brilliant. They are they're really informal, and people that have joined have genuinely made real, true friendship connections. You know, since coming, they go on holiday together. I've not had a wedding yet, but we have had a couple that have started dating. So I have got my hat, and I am waiting with fingers crossed. If anybody is interested in those clubs, wants to come and have a chat with me later on about how you can come along. You don't have to live in Liverpool. You can come anywhere. You know, from anywhere. We do provide transport. For those people in the Liverpool and Knowsley area, obviously places are limited. We've only got the two buses on the road. So if anyone's interested, whether that be to come as a volunteer, to come as a service user, please come and see me. We find that a lot of our younger visually impaired people that come along tend to be volunteers. We've got one of our volunteers, Julie, in the room. And it's a nice day, isn't it, Julie, would you say? Yeah? There you go. I didn't pay her to say that. Okay. So moving on to 1996 then, it was quite a busy year. Our walking group was established in 96, and they go out twice a month. And I say it's a walking group, but they are a rambling group. I went out with them and they had me climbing over stiles and through fields full of cows, and we had lots of guide dogs, and that was interesting. And yeah, they go away, and in fact they're away this weekend. They've gone for a weekend away in Conway, I believe. So they went yesterday, and they'll have a big walk today and walking again tomorrow. And they stay in varying hostels, and the walking group's quite big now. And they're a lovely group of people, and there just so happens to be a pub at the end of every walk. Very coincidental, yeah. I'm not sure how that's happened. Of course you can, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. You have to do the walk, you can't just meet at the pub. Okay, so in 96 our Tanzan group was also started. They've done all kinds of fabulous rides over in Russia and wonderful different places. They have a team of pilots. So if anyone's interested, they do taster days every now and then they will try and match you up with somebody, and then they call, a chap called Jamal will coordinate people going out on different rides. And we've got a Tanzan workshop here, so we have a team of volunteers that come in and look after those for us. We signed up a specialist rehabilitation officer for deafblind service users, that was in 96 as well. We also, this is all 96, a volunteer coordinator. So we've got two volunteer coordinators in post at the moment, one to run our Be Active service and one for other volunteers. We introduced our transcription service. So if you live in Liverpool and you are not getting information in the correct format from the council or your bank or places like that, request it. They have to provide it. 9 times out of 10 they'll come to us and we can provide that, and they either do it in large print braille or in audio, because we do have a recording studio on site as well. The Liverpool Consultative Group, they were set up in 96. They are a group of visually impaired people. They get together and lots of really good ideas come from their group. A couple of them being our ID cards that we have in Liverpool now to say that you're registered. So when anyone asks, you know, can you prove that you're registered blind, even though you've got your guide dog on, you've got your dog glass, and you've got your dinner down your top. You don't have to carry your CVI with you, so we've got them. Our Talking newspaper, that also came out of the consultative group as well, and that goes out a couple of times a year. That's our Focus Talking newspaper. Again, you can get that in audio, large print, braille, or we can send it out electronically. So, they've done enough in 96, so we'll move on to 97. Our BME services were created, so that's a chap called Jamal Abdullah who runs them, and lots of different groups were formed around his service. The Usual Suspects, who are our rock and roll band, they formed. They've played in many places, including the Cavern, and they still sort of gig today in varying formats. Recently, we had a country music night, which was good. And then on the 12th of October, we've got Merseybeat with a Whole Lot of Soul. So it's a Merseybeat music night for the first half, and then the second half, we've got a soul band coming in called the Midnight Movers. So that's good, and that's only £3 to get in, and there'll be the bar will be open, and there'll be food on. And we tend to do a social night once a month, and they're really good fun. And again, anyone can come along to them, just pay on the door. Where are we up to? Our art group, that was established as well in 97. And again, that's still going today. They are now based over in Christopher Grange in the rehab centre. And they have a tutor that comes in. And there a couple of times a week. I can pass on details of Liam's number if anyone would be interested in going along. And they've done lots of different exhibitions. One of my favourite ones is they had an exhibition in St George's Hall, which was absolutely beautiful. So the art group, they're lovely, really, really nice group. Our ECHO service, that was started up in 1998, and that's still going today. So if anyone's been to the Royal, you may have met Karina, or you may have met Hillary. And again, the ECHO services, as I'm sure lots of you will know, they are the bridge between health and ourselves here at Liverpool. So they will signpost people on to lots of different services such as Sightline, and then bring them through to ourselves, and we can go out and do a full assessment of need, and then refer them on to our many different activity services and social groups and what have you. So the funding that we got from RNIB are £25,000 a year. In 2003, they pulled out of that agreement, so we were left penniless. The first thing we done is we went to a trust, and we got money to have our own collection boxes made. And some of you may have seen ours around. Ours are bright pink elephants with a blue and white stripy t-shirt on. So we started. His name's Brad. So we started off by getting as many Brads about as we could. Which was good, but then the other news that we got is that Guide Dogs wanted to sell the building, so we were penniless and potentially homeless at that point. We needed money. We went to a trust called the Bradbury Foundation, and we asked them for some money, and they said, we'll give you £300,000, but you have to name the building after us. And we put our hand out and said, we'll call it what you want, just give us your money, please. So hence it went from Muriel Crook House to the Bradbury Centre. So we then went to the Black Shirts and Court Trust. They gave us £200,000 towards the building. So we're doing well, we've got £500,000, but Guide Dogs wanted £600,000. The week we were supposed to sign over for the building, we were £100,000 short, and a very, very lovely service user of ours very, very sadly passed away. And that week we got a cheque in the post off here for £100,000, which kind of a little bit felt like it's meant to be. So we were able to purchase the building that we're in now. We had the building, fabulous. Buildings are like houses, they are money pits, they cost a lot of money. So we've got somewhere to live, but we need to keep it going. So we started to develop lots of different events and things that go on. And a lot of those events still go on today. So the likes of the Summer Fete, we have that every July. We have a Christmas market every November. And we bring sort of external stallholders in. And, you know, a lot of people sort of say to me, oh, I love going to markets and things. And you walk up to the stall and the stallholder sort of stands there and you're thinking, okay, well, I've got a guide dog, tell me what's on your table, and they don't say nothing, they don't know what to approach you, and you walk away with nothing. So all of our traders that come in, they're all fully aware that everybody that comes here has got a visual impairment. And I've said to them, if you come, if you don't say what you've got, you're not going to make any money. So they want to make money. So you'll walk in and they'll say, oh, come over here, I've got this on my table, I've got that on my table. And they'll tell you exactly what they've got. And those are generally really nice events. And especially at Christmas, we normally have Father Christmas. And we do get a lot of sort of visually impaired parents that come along and bring the kiddies and what have you. And that's really nice. So 2005 to 2008, again, we still needed more money to keep the building going. So we started to get tenants in. So role reversal, the corridor that we had upstairs when Guide Dogs owned the building, they then moved into that corridor. So we were the landlords, so that was an interesting shift. All Together Now, which was called I Can Do That. Does anybody know the newspaper?
Yeah.
So they moved in, so they've got some offices upstairs here. We've got the National Artificial Eye Unit, they've got an office. Blind Veterans UK, they were formerly known as St Dunstan's. Footworks Chiropody, and our most recent tenant is a lady called Jeanette, who runs a business called Skin Geek. So she does lots of beauty things, lots of, you know, making your face look 20 years younger kind of business. That's what she does. So great, we filled all of our rooms, so we've got no spare rooms left for storage now because we've rented all the rooms out, which is great. In 2007, we were questioning our name. We were still Liverpool Voluntary Society for the Blind, but that name wasn't right for us. We all agreed it wasn't right. We weren't just Liverpool for a start. We weren't just voluntary, and we weren't just blind people. So we needed a new name. It was very, very controversial. Nobody gave us money and demanded we use their name. So we had all kinds of ideas coming in. We'd been in the Bradbury Centre for a long time, and we sort of realised that a lot of people just referred to us as Bradbury. So it sort of seemed a little bit like common sense, really, to go with Bradbury. And we've got a lot of fields around the building. So it's sort of Bradbury Fields, Strawberry Fields tie sort of came in, really, and Bradbury Fields was born from there. We very, very much realised that we were growing quickly, and the building it didn't fit us, so we needed to expand. And in 2011, very sadly, one of my ladies from one of my clubs passed away, and this lady, she was beautiful. You wouldn't have thought she had two pennies to rub together. God bless her. She passed away. She left us a very, very sizable legacy, which enabled us to build the conservatory on this building here, and lots of furniture. We've had quite a few legacies that have come in that have enabled us to do things like that, which is very sad in one hand, and we're massively grateful in the other. So 2013, we realised that the kitchen wasn't fit for purpose anymore. It was a bog standard kitchen from when guide dogs had this place as a hotel, really. So it's like a kitchen that you'd have in your home. So that all got renovated. We went back to the Bradbury Trust, and they gave us some more money, and we built another conservatory, which is the little conservatory opposite the bar. And we sort of, that's great to have that space, so we've got sort of use it like as a little bit of a breakout room for when we're doing events like this, or when I've got my club on, things like that. So other services that we've got that I've not quite covered in our little timeline there is our Be Active service. And they do all kinds of different things. So they've got a fishing group, a swimming group, Zumba, yoga, a gym, karaoke sessions, lots of other things that I'm sure I've probably forgotten there. These services are brilliant. These services are, everybody comes together, they're really friendly. You'll find that if someone's in one, they're probably in 10 of them as well. They're just really, really nice. And the Be Active service will extend as well. So if you've got someone that says, well, I really want to get involved, I'm a bit nervous, I don't think I want to join the clubs that you've got, because they all seem, I mean, apart from the fishing, you know, I think my guess is you just sit around on that one. But the other ones are quite energetic. Even the karaoke, I've seen them all dancing on Thursday, so they're all quite energetic. So if you've got someone that says, oh, I'm not quite ready for something like that, maybe they're a bit nervous, our Be Active service will also extend to a one-to-one service. And we can do one-to-one for one-off things. So we've had people who've gone to the Grand National, and they've gone, oh, I've not got anyone to go along with me. We've had somebody that wanted to go on a cruise, so we set them up with a volunteer to go on a cruise with them. I know you're all want a volunteer now, don't you? That's how we get volunteers, and Louise, write that down. Free cruise. We have volunteers that maybe someone just wants to go shopping once a fortnight, or someone's going to a special family wedding and they want to get a nice outfit, but they don't, you know, the family members are running around sorting everything else out, you don't want to put something else on them, or, you know, they want us birthday presents. You want to buy, you know, the closest person to you a birthday present, and they're the one that takes you shopping. You know, they can't pick their own presents. So things like that, and that's what the Be Active service is for there. And some of our volunteers that are in today, they're actually volunteers for that service. So all those services are brilliant. They're fantastic. We don't get any funding for any of those services. We have to fundraise for those services ourselves. So over the years, we've had lots of different people, whether it's visually impaired people or whether it's supporters of the organisation, and they will do what we call challenges. So we've had some very interesting ones. I had a guy who done a virtual cycle from Camp Bastion, Afghanistan, to the Bradbury Centre when he was based out there. So he had an exercise bike, and he was on it every day. Then he got excited because someone found him an old BMX, and he could cycle around the outside of the camp. But their rule is you've got to have a machine gun with you at all times when you're outside the camp. So he had an old battered BMX, a machine gun on his bike. And then he realised the wind's not great. So he emailed me and said, that idea is out the window, I'm back on the exercise bike. He fell asleep on the bike once and fell off. That was really interesting. And his welcome home was amazing. It was one of my favourite events. I absolutely loved his welcome home. He was big into Scottish music, and he was big into a particular Liverpool classical singer. So I arranged for the Clanwallis Pipe Band to meet him up by the Aldi and pipe him in. And everyone was in floods of tears. And then we had his classical singer, whose name escapes me right now, but she came and she sang a few of his favourite songs for him. And again, everyone was in buckets. And that was amazing. And he raised quite a few thousand for that. Our service development manager, Nikki, recently has just walked. No, she didn't do this virtually. She actually did it. Leeds to Liverpool along the canal. She took a week's annual leave, an interesting way to spend your annual leave. She met very interesting people on her way. She was proposed to by a guy who had to put his teeth in first. And then sang her an Elvis song. She met a poet who wouldn't let her pass until he'd recited at least two of his poems, and then gave her a signed copy of his book, which was nice. Well, you say he was nice. He then said he knew where her hotel was and got her lost, so she had to do an extra 2 miles that she wasn't expecting that day. So that was 127 miles. I mean, they're big, big challenges, which is amazing for them people. You would never get me doing anything like that. So we understand that not everybody's going to want to go, oh, I'm going to do that, you're going to do something huge. We've had people that have thrown a coffee morning, you know, a tea and cake morning in their own home, just with their family, you know, like, you know, and collected someone. And every single, I hate to sound like Tesco's, but every little does help. It really does. So our little Brad collection boxes, we've got them in as many shops as we can across the city. We even had cuddly toy ones made, and you can adopt a Brad for a fiver if anyone's interested. Give him a home. And I've bought a few and sent them to some guide dog friends of mine across the country and what have you. So it's nice to see. And he's actually got his own Twitter account. He's probably got more followers than me, if I'm honest. And that's nice. So, you know, you can be as big or as small in your challenges as you want. Or just come along, get involved in some of the social events, you know. They're real good fun, and you know, you've given to charity without realising, because you're having a great time yourself. The garden suite that we're in now, that was a recent development, and it's taken off really well. And you can hire these rooms out for a function. So we've had we've had anniversaries here, we've had birthdays, christenings, we've had all kinds, and we dress the rooms up lovely. Really nice. I had my hen party in here.
I had my 60th.
Yeah. And did you have a good time, Mike? Yeah. Good. I've had a few of my niece's birthday parties in here, so we can get bouncy castles and all kinds of things outside. It's great for the kids. It's great if you're going to be having a big party and you'd expect a lot of guide dogs. We know everywhere should take guide dogs, but us guide dog owners know how stressful it can be if you go into a function somewhere and you're expecting to take 7 dogs with you. So somewhere like here, brilliant, we've got the pen, we've got the play area for the dogs and the kids, and then we've got the bar for the grown-ups. So if anyone would be interested in looking at the hiring of the garden suite for a function, then Jill is your lady, so please go and see Jill. We've got lots of things coming up in the day. We've got lots of Christmas parties booked in, which is great, because I have a Christmas dinner Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I think one year on Christmas Day I sat down for my Christmas dinner, and it was my 16th Christmas dinner. So we started 160 years ago, and our last big event was Freedom of the City. We were granted Freedom of the City, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. And we went to the town hall and we had a wonderful ceremony. And they produced our beautiful, absolutely stunning big tablets of you know, our big certificates that we get. And they even produced one in Braille for us, which is lovely. And that was really nice. And they're actually down at reception. I might be able to bring some of them down and let people have a little feel of them. But they were beautiful. So I think I've got you all on board with the cruise. So if anybody would like to volunteer for anything at all, or if you've heard a group that you've thought, you know, fishing, I'd love to go for, you know, we had a lady in her 90s who never thought she'd go fishing again. I think she's about 95, and I seen a photograph of her a couple of weeks ago with a ginormous, disgusting-looking fish in her hand, but she was delighted. You know, she had a smile from ear to ear. Yeah. So if you've heard of anything that I've said that you think, yeah, I want to get involved in that, then just come and give me a little shout. If you want to take her home and mull it over, have a little think about it first. There's lots of different things you can access online to have a little look. So obviously you can visit the website, but that you know, websites are boring. So you can go on the Facebook page. We've got two Twitter accounts. We've got the Bradbury Fields account, and then obviously Brad the Elephant's got his own. He's much more fun. We've got our little group. It's Brad's Besties, which is just a little social group for chatting on Facebook. The Garden Suite is on Instagram. That's relatively new. So there's probably only three or four posts on there. That's just sort of only been born a couple of months ago. We've got our events mailing list as well, so I can pop people's email addresses on there if anyone's interested. Yeah. And that will just be, it goes out maybe once every few months, and it's just got a little list of different activities that are coming up. So get involved, whether that's coming in to, you know, sort yourself out with expanding your own social circle, or whether you want to come along and you want to get involved in any fundraising events, or if you're feeling festive and you want to sign up for the Santa Dash early, then please come and see me. So we need to keep going for another 160 years. Thank you very much.
Can I just say thank you very much, Louise, for doing this talk, and much appreciated. Thank you.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.